This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Wednesday afternoon, September 11th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. McDonald's makes a move to reduce the role of cashiers. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, consumer prices rose to 0.2% in August, putting the annual inflation rate at its lowest level since early 2021. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Diane Swank, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. Diane, thank you for joining us today. And by and large, the Consumer Price Index report came in line with analysts' expectations. But your estimation, the good and the bad in the latest CPI reading?
Sure. What we're seeing in terms of good is the incredible discounting that we're seeing of big ticket goods that tend to be financed, everything from appliances, furniture, vehicles. Those good items are falling at a 4.42% pace from a year ago in the month of August. That's the fastest decline in goods prices that we have seen since December 2023. And back then was an era when the Federal Reserve was cutting aggressively because it was concerned that we might be entering a bout of deflation. That's clearly not the case. Those declines in goods prices and non-durable goods prices, with the discounting we're seeing at big box discounters, are helping to offset persistent inflation in the service sector, most notably in shelter costs. Shelter costs are being buoyed by everything from acute shortages of affordable housing to lodging away from home. That's hotels. We saw airfares also pick up during the month after receding a bit earlier in the year, and that's something we'll be watching closely in the service sector. What is the service sector doing as we get into the fall months? But overall, this index on consumer inflation was pretty cool, given where we've been the last several years.
We're breaking down the August Consumer Price Index report with Diane Swank, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago. I do want to talk about the price of oil falling, especially this week, and if that's going to show up in later CPI reports. But you did mention that shelter costs, and that includes hotels and airline tickets, picked up in the month of August. And that seems to fly in the face, no pun intended, of this narrative that the economy is slowing down. If the economy is slowing down, it's not breaking into people's confidence in their ability to afford a vacation.
That seems to be the case. And what we're seeing was interestingly, in the month of August, the labor market report showed people out on vacation during the month was the lowest level since August of 2020. So there weren't a lot of people taking vacations, but clearly some cutback in service and increase in prices was evident. We're also seeing a real bifurcation of, you know, people aren't renting Airbnbs as much as they were earlier in the expansion, but hotel rooms are more in demand. And I think that's what you're seeing is some changing in who's actually traveling. Instead of everybody traveling all at once, you're seeing high-income households really able to splurge a lot more on vacation travel than lower-income households that we saw earlier when everybody was sort of trying to get that revenge travel after the lockdowns we had earlier in the pandemic.
Oil trading below $70 a barrel. Very quickly, Diane, how is this going to show up in subsequent consumer price index reports, especially if the price of gas falls as a result?
This is very good news for the price of gas and for consumers out there, really important, and we will see additional deceleration in the overall price index for the CPI because of this decline in prices at the pump as we get into September and October. And I think that's very important because this is an area where consumers spend a lot of money because they've got to fill up their cars every week just to get to work.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, KPMG in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a top burger chain is ready to take your cash using a machine.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago-based McDonald's introducing kiosks that take cash. Let's talk about the move with RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, thank you for joining us today. And this flies in the face, it seems, of the cashless trend that we have been experiencing, especially since the COVID-19 pandemic. If you go to Soldier Field, you pay entirely with plastic. If you go to a lot of other places that are consumer-facing, you pay with your credit card. They don't take cash. And McDonald's is pushing back on that trend with their ordering kiosks.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Rob. What we're seeing here is that McDonald's is opening up its kiosks to allow cash. Kiosks are at a majority of their locations at this point, but oftentimes the consumers who are making those orders are paying with cash and have to complete their transaction at the cashier. What this is going to do is allow those customers to pay at the kiosk and completely bypass that and hopefully free up some of that labor that can be then reallocated to things like delivery and digital orders as well. So I think it's an interesting move to see how it play out. Certainly McDonald's doesn't want to alienate a sizable portion of their customer base that does pay with cash. And so I think from that perspective, it's a smart move.
Speed of ordering has been the McDonald's story ever since Ray Kroc bought the McDonald's system 70 years ago in franchising. One thing I have noticed with the kiosks in the restaurant is that they're not necessarily using them to reduce headcount in a McDonald's restaurant, whether it's owned by the company or a franchise. It's just that those people who used to take your orders are now working in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is that actually the last, really the last decade or so, and this was accelerated during the pandemic, the idea of digital orders and delivery orders have really actually made restaurants more complex in a lot of ways. And in that sense, you'd actually need to reallocate labor to handle those orders. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing here is we've seen a demand for people to expedite those orders, take out orders to, you know, people who place orders digitally. And so I think that's what we're seeing. And I think that's the end goal is ultimately to improve speed of service, order accuracy with these as well. But there are also some challenges with it, too. I mean, the kiosk can be difficult to operate sometimes, especially for first-time users. They can also be, if the technology is not working, then the model breaks down as well. So there's some pluses and minuses with this move as well.
You bring up a very good point. If the name of the game is to get you in, get your food, and get you out the door, it seems like the weak link in the chain is the customer using the kiosk. And I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else. I'm pecking away at that kiosk very slowly, making sure all the kids' McNuggets meals are 100% correct. And is that being factored into the McDonald's speed of service model, that the customer is having a hard time inputting the information into the kiosk?
I think it certainly is, and I think McDonald's is always looking to make improvements on that end. You know, when you roll out these technologies, it's not just a matter of training your crew to better interact with customers with these technologies, but it's also, in a sense, you have to train your customers on that front, too. make it easy to use, make sure, you know, if we're typing in loyalty program numbers and things, that they interface well. And not every group has done it well, and it's been a challenge for a lot of QSR companies to get that right. So, I think at the end of the day, it may be an adjustment period with this, but I think ultimately the goal is to reduce speed of service time and get people through the line quicker. But it is going to take some adjustment for those who aren't as experienced with it and have been used to paying at the cashier.
That said, RJ, the kiosks, now that they take cash, are they a money-saving device or a money-making device because you can turn orders faster?
It can be, and ultimately the end of the game towards being a more profitable company at the franchisee level is getting more transactions through during peak hours. And I think if done correctly, if implemented correctly, and train both customer and crew member, I think it can be done for that. There's also the benefit to typically when you do have people ordering through a kiosk, you tend to see average check go up because you have more time to go through and maybe tack on that extra order for your kids there. I'm guilty of that as myself. And so I think that that's ultimately the game is, you know, higher throughput, larger ticket, better order accuracy. And let's see how it plays out.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, tips for buying a teenager's first car.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's a big moment when a teenager gets a driver's license, and that's followed by another milestone, buying a first car. Let's discuss the best ways to handle the process with Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive reporter based in Detroit. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. The first thing it seems like a parent has to do when they are outlining the process of how their high school student will get their first car is to just basically set the parameters for not only paying for that car, if that's what they want to do, or paying for the insurance.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, and I've talked to a number of experts on this subject, is you don't want that vehicle to be too powerful. I mean, young people want something sporty, they want something cool, but, you know, a Mustang is too much for them to handle. A Wrangler may not quite be stable enough. Vehicles like that require more experienced drivers. And, you know, you also have to look at cost, which is obviously part of the equation, and maybe go online and look at some safety ratings as well.
Now, I inherited the family station wagon way back when I got my first driver's license, and there were other people in my high school class. They were the coolest kids around because they got a car before everybody else, but the cars back then that they inherited was, in one case, it was a Dodge Aries K with a horn that did not function, so the driver had to carry an air horn for a boat, and then by the time he got rid of it, they were tying the back doors together with a piece of twine. Another person had a Ford Fairmont where you could look down in the passenger side of the front seat and see the pavement below. So those cars were, they got you from point A to point B, and they made you look really cool, but they were also extreme safety hazards. And it seems like the beater of yesteryear actually is a lot better today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my first car actually rusted through after 6 years. That was back in the good old days, the 70s. Today, a six-year-old vehicle can actually be very nice and very economical. You know, a mid-size SUV, a smaller compact car, maybe something with a little bit more styling, all of those are perfectly acceptable starter vehicles for a young person.
And on top of that, the cars are just safer today than they were back in the 90s or back in the 70s. I mean, that Dodge Aries K that I was talking about was probably 13, 14 years old in 1996. A 13-year-old car on the road today was introduced in 2011.
Yeah, exactly. And 13 years old is about the average age of a vehicle on the road today. My first vehicle was a 1974 Plymouth Duster. My parents actually loaned me the money to buy it new because they didn't want me away at college with something that was breaking down. Well, this new car still broke down all the time. It rusted very quickly. And as I said, it was gone in 6 years. Today, you don't see any of that.
I was going to say, Jeff, I had the 1991 Buick Roadmaster estate wagon with wood paneling, and it would fit right in with the boats in Monroe Harbor. And even though it would cost an arm and a leg to fill that car up today, I still miss it a great deal.
Now that's a chick magnet.
It certainly was. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive reporter based in Detroit, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Personal Finance Wednesday, examining the strategy of dividend investing.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sting.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The presidential campaigns are off today in remembrance of the 9/11 terror attacks. Reaction comes in to last night's debate between former President Trump and Vice President Harris. Personal Finance Wednesday boosting your portfolio through dividend investing. And Apple is adding health-related features to more of its products. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 176 points, NASDAQ up 146, S&P 500 down 3. We have 82 degrees right now under mostly sunny skies at 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. The anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks being marked today in New York and in other places across the country.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump hot off their presidential debate Tuesday night, shaking hands Wednesday morning at the 9/11 memorial just ahead of the start of the annual ceremony honoring the almost 3,000 victims killed that day. Also there, President Biden, J.D. Vance, Mike Bloomberg. But the day is not about the politicians. It's about the people who died. That's why Diane Massaroli, who lost her husband Michael, says she attends.
I feel I have to be here because no remains were ever found of him. So to me, this is his resting place. So that's why I come.
As for the politicians, she says,
it doesn't really bother me. You know, I know some people it bothers.
At Ground Zero, I'm Julie Walker.
Local political leaders are reacting to last night's debate between Vice President Harris and former President Trump. The head of the Illinois Republican Party, Kathy Salvey, issuing a statement calling the former president the leader that Illinois and America needs. Governor Pritzker says the vice president is a proven leader who has repeatedly shown that she has the character and vision to lead the country and to strengthen it. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. The markets are mixed. They're recovering slightly. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gary Kultbaum, president of Kultbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Gary, thank you for joining us today. Your reaction to the August Consumer Price Index report?
A little higher than expected, but I call it a no biggie. And everything about the market is looking forward. And the one thing I am watching is how oil prices have really cratered over the last couple of weeks. And that should help the inflation front big time going forward.
Looking at that, the collapse in the oil market, if you want to call it that, with oil trading below $70 a barrel, and what does that tell you potentially as a forward-looking mechanism? Because there have been some times where the price of oil has gone down quite a bit, and it's because traders are concerned about the health of the economy. So how much of this is a function of economic growth in China, and how much of this is just a function of reduced demand as a result of technological innovation?
Well, there's a definitive component of worry about our economy going forward, and we see it in several ways. Number one, oil prices. Number two, commodity prices. All commodities. And lastly, the 10-year yield is down at 3.66%. So you add those things up, and then you go look at this softness in the job market, which is becoming more and more evident every month. At least the last few months, and there's some makings here of trouble. But I will say this, if we were to go into a big recession, something of consequence, I could all but promise you the Dow would be about 10 to 15% lower than where it is. So I am not sure the market overall is flushing some real trouble out, but leave no doubt some softness is going on right now.
And there has been some discussion that the yield curve could be signaling trouble ahead. But in your estimation, does the yield curve as a predictor of a recession, does that still work? Because I think we have seen the yield curve invert a couple of times in the last couple of years, and the predicted recession did not arrive.
Yeah, it's got a darn good record, but records are made to be broken. What we're hearing now is that when it uninverts, that's when the market's yelling and screaming trouble, and we just uninverted. So we'll know soon enough if that is the case. Look, I'm just a big believer that the stock market has big ears and a big mouth, and if there's going to be big trouble, we're going to be much lower from here. And I do want to say economic stocks have been worrisome. Things like Caterpillar and Deere and United Rentals have been cratering. Financials had a bad week last week, and I can promise you they'll go down a lot also if we have real big economic troubles. So there's definitely, as they say, the whites of the eyes are showing up right now. But again, I really do believe we'd be much, much lower because the market really telegraphs things before it happens.
Now, Gary, historically on this program, you've had some thoughts about the Fed. There is a policy meeting next week. They are going to cut interest rates, and it seems like some of the sell-off today is driven by the idea that it's going to be a quarter point, not a half point interest rate cut. What do you see going into next week?
Well, I think they've become a non-factor again, and I think they only really caused trouble. Just remember, when inflation spiked, they stated 0% and said there wasn't any inflation, and then had to play months of catch-up. Well, now the 10-year yield is down to 3.67. They're sitting at 5.25, so they're way behind again. It's like me running a 100-yard dash against Usain Bolt. That's how far behind they are. So all they're doing right now is playing catch-up to the free market that they never listen to, and let's just hope they don't do any damage because of it. I don't think it matters to anybody's job or the economy whether they do a quarter point or a half. I do think it could matter to the markets, and I'm pretty sure as of this second they've telegraphed the quarter point, not a half, as to not scare things. So that's the expectation right now.
Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando, Florida. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, using dividends to help build long-term wealth.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and one way to grow your wealth is by going the dividend route. Let's talk about the strategy with Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Find him online, senecalcapital.com. Bill, thank you for joining us today. And yesterday on the Noon Business Hour, we talked about the strategy, some strategies you can employ when you are saving for retirement in such a way that you can retire early, maybe when you're in your 50s or before that. But you have to be aggressive, Bill. And one way you can do that is by taking advantage of the so-called dividend aristocrats. What's the name of your savings marketing strategy? The Aristocrats. Bill, give me the G-rated version of what the dividend aristocrats are and how they work.
Sure. Well, the dividend aristocrats are companies that are generally in the S&P 500. They've increased their dividends for roughly 25 consecutive years. And these are companies that are very well established, high quality companies, and they have a history of stable growth and definitely the growing dividend payments. Now, not always the highest yielding, but what you give up in yield, you get generally in for stability. So on the pro side, it would be, again, stability. They have a long track record of paying and increasing their dividends. They're generally financially sound and resilient, even in volatile markets, which we've seen lately. And for investors looking to grow consistent income, and especially if you're young, right, and you do the dividend reinvestment program where you just continually buy more shares, these can be great ways of retiring a little bit early and getting that cash flow in your pocket that helps diminish, you know, portfolio volatility and, again, work on a really great strategic way of building wealth.
So if you were to reinvest your dividend into these stocks that are dividend aristocrats, what in terms of supercharging or accelerating growth, what can it give you?
What can it give you? Well, listen, the best thing about dividend investing actually is kind of boring. It gives you an opportunity of growing wealth in a kind of slow and silent way where the compound interest and compounding effect of your portfolio grows, and you don't have to chase yield so much because you know that you're already getting it. Now, on the negative side, you have to be also careful that these are mature companies, right? And they don't always grow as fast as younger, more aggressive technology stocks that we've seen. And they also have their issues with being cyclical, right? So you're dollar cost averaging, so you're buying slightly fewer shares on the way up and buying more shares on the way down. And so, again, here we are, Rob, in we have been in a high interest rate environment for 2.5 years, and we are on the precipice of, you know, a lower rate regime coming down the road. Generally, dividend paying stocks perform quite well in a reducing and reduction kind of interest rate environment. So while past performance doesn't always guarantee future success, you still have to do your work fundamentally, because just look at what happened to Walgreens. I mean, Walgreens was trading $85 a share a couple of years ago, and now it's 8.85. So you just can't blindly throw money in old school kind of companies. But again, take the concept of dividend reinvesting, compounding over a life of retirement savings, and having stability that kind of builds a silo of protection around your wealth.
We're talking with Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senegal. Well, we're talking about the practice of dividend investing. And if you're going to do this, do you have to be the shareholder of record? Do you have to go individually and purchase these stocks? Or can you take advantage of this either through a fund or an ETF?
Oh, there's dozens of exchange-traded funds. And I prefer that over looking at individual stocks, because you tend to spend too much time looking at the individual name up and downs. There are aristocrat ETFs that are international, emerging markets, technology, Eurozone, S&P 500. I love that.
Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senegal Capital Management in Glenview, thank you for joining us on this Personal Finance Wednesday. You can find him online at senegalcapital.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, getting help with hearing and sleep apnea from your Apple device.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Apple is adding features to some of its devices that are designed to track users' health. Let's get the details from Ina Fried, chief technology correspondent for the news site Axios in San Francisco. Ina, thank you for joining us today. And it's a very interesting shift in what Apple unveils in their big get-togethers in San Francisco or near San Francisco. It's no longer these killer entertainment apps or things to really help you while away the time when you're sitting in a room somewhere, but it's really now information that can, or devices that can help you in life or potentially detect life-threatening conditions.
It is, and I think it was really interesting that that's really what stuck with people, I think, out of the launch. I've heard from lots of people that, you know, forget the new iPhones. They were really interested in the health features. As you mentioned, there's this hearing aid and hearing test for the AirPods, and then Apple Watch can start detecting sleep apnea. And what's interesting about both of these is these are widespread conditions that are also often go undiagnosed and untreated.
And tell us about the AirPod as hearing aid. Is this something that users noticed on their own and then Apple decided to take advantage of it?
Not exactly. I mean, Apple has been sort of slowly building to this with more and more hearing capabilities in the AirPods. But I think they've been the ones sort of setting out to turn these into full medical grade hearing aids. And I think what's going to be really neat is I think for a lot of people, one, they don't know how much hearing loss they have. There's a test that's going to be built in, you can see. Then you can custom fix the hearing areas you need help with. And then also, I think the biggest thing is it's going to be subtle. So if you want to try out hearing aids, you can sort of try it out without people knowing you're wearing hearing aids. You look hip and cool because you're wearing AirPods and actually you're wearing hearing aids. And I think it will change the way we think about hearing aids. And that already, the piece that put this in motion, and I do think they deserve some credit, is the government finally making it so that you don't need a prescription so that hearing aids are over the counter.
And then the other health feature that people are talking about is this sleep apnea detection that is coming to Apple Watches. And how does that work?
So again, they're taking something that used to be cumbersome, people didn't do. You used to have to go in for these sleep tests. You'd like have to go to sleep in a lab somewhere. This works on your wrist just as you're sleeping. Apple's using the accelerometer in the watch. Actually, there's apparently some abnormal wrist movements that are associated with sleep apnea, you know, heavily disturbed sleep. And then it can alert you. And then obviously you and a doctor are going to have to figure out what you want to do about that. It's not going to fix sleep apnea, but at least you can find out if it's a problem. And again, most people with the condition don't even know they have it.
Ina Fried, Chief Technology Correspondent for the news site Axios in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.